Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If a team wants to buy you out or, you know, or waive you, or it's just all part of the business. And I think when you truly understand that and you truly know that this is a business, but you give 110% to whatever situation that you're in, then you're able to live with it. But I know it has to be tough on guys that for the first time in their career, especially if you're a young guy, to be able to hear your name in trade rumors when you've been somewhere, for a few years.
That's LeBron James. He has empathy for his players, the guys around him. And again, they won it. They got blown out by the Pacers, and the crowd was chanting, "LeBron's going to trade you." So I think the players understand.
And last night, they
got nothing done.
Getting the reprieve, Lakers come back and win, and he has a triple double. And look at the Lakers now.
Let's bring in Sean Devaney from the Sporting News. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Sean.
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
I couldn't help but laugh at LeBron being sympathetic to people because, of course, he's the guy that was going to trade everybody. How do they recover from this, or do they recover from this? Or, you know, clearly the younger players were affected, and clearly they didn't get the job done. They didn't get the trade made. Anthony Davis remains with the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think going forward, it's going to be difficult. I think last night's game was a blessing if you're Luke Walton and if you're LeBron James, that they're able to win the game. Had some good play from the veterans. It was Rajon Rondo making the big shot. So, just going out there and being able to get a win probably set some of that aside for the time being. But that's something that's going to be, if you're Brandon Ingram, if you're Lonzo Ball, if you're Kyle Kuzma, then you know what they were trying to do with you, and you know that that's not going to change. When we get to the summer, it's going to be the same situation. So it really is something that whole mess with the Pelicans and the Lakers has left a trail of anger and hurt feelings in its wake. And it's not just the Lakers. You had Kyrie Irving was angry last week about rumors about New York. You had Kevin Durant was angry with the media the other day. And Jason Tatum of the Celtics, he knows that he's potentially a part of an Anthony Davis trade. So this has left quite a trail of destruction behind it.
Sean, before we get to the Bulls, and we'll do that in a second, your latest column on sportingnews.com, you look at the winners and losers of the trade deadline. Elton Brand took over the GM job with the Sixers in September, and he has been, as you point out, fearless in his approach. Jimmy Butler deal, and then the Tobias Harris trade. They have now the Philly Four, and they look like one of the strongest teams in the East. How surprised are you that Elton Brand has made an impact like this soon, and did you see this coming?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I think that when you take over a job like that, a team that won 50 games and has a nice momentum going, has a good coach and solid young players, you've got to be a little reluctant to come in and just say, all right, we're going to make these major changes. We're going to bring in an all-star in Jimmy Butler, who's obviously had some locker room issues, and then we're going to go ahead and bring in a near all-star in Tobias Harris, who's going to be a free agent this summer, as is Butler. That's a big gamble. For a rookie GM to make, a guy who got the job just a few months ago in September. Usually you'd want to get your feet wet, you'd want to kind of ease into this, but Elton Brand has been very aggressive in the way he's approached this. He's really looked at this as we're not going to sit and wait for Embiid to continue developing. We're not going to wait for Ben Simmons. He's been very aggressive, and I think you have to give him credit for that. Now, it could wind up blowing up in his face. He could wind up losing Tobias Harris in free agency, and that would be a tough lesson for sure. But certainly what he's done, I think, if you're a Sixers fan and you've been waiting for this for as long as you have, I think you have to like where they are.
I love that the fine folks in Lost Wages, Nevada, have the Raptors, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the 76ers all together at 10-1 to win the NBA title. I love the idea of that as a Final Four in the Eastern Conference, because all those teams, other than Boston, made a move that seemingly propels them over, maybe out of the group. And yet, since they all did something, and since Boston was set up beforehand and may end up being set up great in the offseason, it's interesting to try to pick those teams apart and find out who the best one is, and it should be really fun basketball.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I can't say much for the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, you know, when you've got, Charlotte or Miami in there. But once you get to the second round, you have those four teams battling it out. I do think that they're all pretty evenly matched. Toronto got Marc Gasol. I think that might make them, to me, the top of the heap in the East, but only by a whisker. I think Boston is probably just a half step behind them. If they can start to put things together a little bit more, teams that they've been waiting for that to happen all year in Boston, and then you've got I think Philadelphia and Milwaukee are again right there with those two teams, but probably 3-4 behind them.
Talking with Sean Devaney from the Sporting News, and Sean, you write in your column the Bulls bulletproof front office, and you allude to the trade for Otto Porter Jr. getting rid of Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. Locally, we heard John Paxson explain yesterday that was basically, you know, this is their first move of 2019 free agency, and Otto Porter Jr. probably fills one of those slots that they had maybe going to pursue a bigger guy. What's the national view of what the Bulls are doing?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like more of the same, that it says that it's the spinning of the wheels. I understand the logic of we weren't going to get anybody else. This is a way for us to essentially sign a big time free agent. Problem is that you're paying $50 million over the next, more than $50 million over the next 2 years for a guy who's a number three option. I mean, he's a good 3-point shooter, good catch and shoot player. Does not create for himself, however, and is solid defensively. You know, does you know what Otto Porter is? But he's a number three option, and I just don't know that that $50 million for a team in the Bulls situation for a role player like that is something that that makes a whole lot of sense. So, I certainly, like I said, I understand the logic of it from Paxson and Foreman's point of view, but I don't think that logic is sound, because I think you need to take on some other risky type players, and Otto Porter's sort of a safe number three option that for a team that I just don't see how he's going to make them that much better.
When you look at what John, or listen to John, he said that there, you know, he kept asking for specifics about different viewpoints of the Bulls, and you know, the idea that there's something wrong in the front office which prevents players from coming. Why don't players want to play in Chicago?
Well, I think
is it accurate they don't want it? Because that's kind of where he started. I mean, I don't know how to pick it apart.
There are some, and a lot of it comes from agents who have the perception that really over the last 7-8 years it's been nothing but turbulence. Starting with the way things went down with Tom Thibodeau, right into the Fred Hoiberg era, and what's going on this year with Jim Boylan. So I think that there is a perception that there isn't a real direction here, and that there isn't sort of a buttoned up program of development. So if you're an agent and you've got a young player, maybe a restricted free agent, say, a guy like Terry Rozier, for instance, for Boston is a restricted free agent this summer, and could possibly be had. Do you want to go to Chicago where you don't know what's in the future in terms of coaching? You don't know what the program is. You don't know what the development program is. I think that's the perception that agents and other scouts and such around the league, I think that's the perception of Bulls is right now. And because of that, you do have a reluctance, especially on the part of young players, to go to Chicago right now.
Sean, in the past week, more than 60 players in the NBA were dealt, and more than 20 draft picks changed hands. 15% of the league was affected. And I know we talked about the effect it has on certain young players who maybe don't know their destination. The only constant is change. Long term, is that good for the league or is that bad for the league?
Well, I mean, think of it this way. You know, this past weekend was Super Bowl Sunday, and you couldn't turn on any sports show or whatever and not hear about Anthony Davis. You know,
right.
So if you're Adam Silver, you're okay with that. You know, you're looking at that and saying, all right, you know, I mean, this is, you know, maybe it doesn't put the league in the best light and all that sort of stuff, but you're okay with the fact that people are talking about the NBA, you know, during the NFL's signature event or heading into the NFL signature event. So it was, you know, I think that this is something that that the league has tried to cultivate this constant 12-month rumor mill discussion about the NBA, discussion about player transactions. So, you know, the league might say, oh, geez, you know, we wish it wasn't it wasn't this way. We wish there weren't so many rumors. You might have, you know, I mentioned Kevin Durant complaining. He gets questions about free agents. But the league loves it. I mean, come on, the league loves it, and it is good for the league.
It's kind of fun because I love it too. And you know, obviously Kevin Durant doesn't love it. We know that. But when these rumors start, when guys are moving, when there's this much movement, how are you supposed to cover it? Are you supposed to not wonder where he ends up or try to get a comment from him about his situation when he another player end up getting into some scuffle in November? How do you not address it? And I get why he's frustrated, but I think it's a legitimate line of questioning.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that there's a couple things about that stood out to me. I'm in Boston, and they were here in Boston about 2 weeks ago, and I went to shoot around, and I went to the game, and he spoke both at shoot around and after the game, and there was no questions about his free agency. And I talked to some folks with the Warriors, and I say he really hasn't been asked about it that much. He's just, I don't know, Durant has developed into a bit of a crotchety personality here in his basketball old age, in his early 30s. So it's been a strange thing to watch, but you do get, I mean, you know, Kyrie Irving was pretty short with the media last week as well. But you're right. I mean, you know, it is a story, and it is something that drives interest in the NBA. If you're going to be a star player, then you've got to accept that that's part of the deal. You have to talk to the media for one thing. It's in your contract. I mean, that's just part of you know, for Durant to say that's not my job. It is your job, actually. It is in your contract that you have to do that. But also, you know, you've got to accept that you're going to have to talk about things that you don't necessarily want to.
Grow up.
Just grow up a little bit. Come on, Sean.
So great.
Yeah.
That was well timed. I appreciate that, guys.
Sean, thanks a ton. Really appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.